All right, welcome this morning, Lake Country Bible Church. Everybody, let's praise the Lord this morning. If we have any visitors amongst us, welcome. And if you would, look in the pouch in the chair in front of you. There'd be a envelope with a pen and a form. If you'd fill that out, put that in the box or the basket on the way out this morning to the right of the door. Let us know a little bit about yourselves. We sure would appreciate that. That we get in touch with each other and learn a little bit about each other and make sure you know you're welcome. We want you back. So thank you all this morning and praise the Lord.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so very much for the gift of grace which was delivered to us through the finished work of the cross, through your Son coming to live 32 perfect years on this life and willing to give it his life up, the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He died on a cross for each one of us, for each one of our sins. And now, in this particular day and age, all we have to do is simply believe in that finished work of the cross. And that is what gets us right with you. That's what allows us to come to you. Father, we thank you so very much for the price paid for us, even though we did not deserve it. And we ask that you would make us, each one of us, worthy. Grow each one of us up. Teach each one of us through the words that we hear out of your holy word, through the teachers you bring to us, through the scripture we read. Grow us up to be productive men and women of Christ, that we can go forth from this assembly and proclaim exactly who you are, what you have done, and how to get people to tell them so that they can understand the glory of what you have done and they are drawn to you. Please do not allow our own misabilities to hinder what you would do. Grow us up and teach us and give us the ability to proclaim your name as we move forward. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I usually don't do this, but I'm going to do it today. Announcements. I usually wait till later. So prayer meeting every Sunday, 9 a.m. in this little room back here. Anybody's welcome to attend. Any prayers are welcome. Nothing's off the table. Come and pray with us, please, because it's very important. The prayer life with God, that's how we talk to God. Women's Bible study. Women's Bible study is from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Terry Buckler right over there teaches it. And she's leading the women in a study of 2 Samuel. All women are encouraged to attend. Wednesday night service happens at 6 p.m. every Wednesday night. Everyone is invited to it. Right now we have a Kindness Cottage food donations. I think that ends today, if I'm not mistaken. Is it the 4th? Yes, the 4th. So it ends today. But there's always ability to drop food in. This is just our little food drive we have. Kindness College is always needing stuff. And if you were having one of these food drives on the back table, you'll see stuff set up or whatever. On February 17th, that's a couple of Saturdays away, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, we're doing, at 6 p.m., we're doing a community gospel singing. So basically, we're going to come together and we're going to sing all kinds of different gospel music, and everybody's invited. This is at 6 p.m., February 17th here. We're going to have a special group in here, the West Side Band from West Side Baptist Church of Honey Grove, Texas, is going to be help lead this thing. Anybody interested in doing a special, please see Brad Long. He is the man right here behind me. And anybody is welcome for this. Next week, there is a, for all personnel, there is a, that involved, there's a leadership council meeting on February 11th. If you have any things you'd like to talk to the council, please come to one of us and we can address that through our meeting. We meet once a month. And one other thing, just let everybody know, we don't pass a plate around here. We don't ask for offerings from anybody else. I think that's, sometimes that's like personal. Sometimes you can feel like you're obligated to give. We have a box set up in the back of the thing. That's the only way we take offerings. And it's an act of worship. This is nothing we ask for. This is nothing that you have to do. But if you feel that you have gained something and you want to support this ministry, there's a box on the back that you can take and you can drop any offerings into.
Thank you.
Well, Mike, after that song, I think we can just do Lord's Supper and go home. What do you think? Awesome song. Thank you, Brad. Our reading today is from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 6. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 6. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all children of light, and children of the day. We are not of the night, nor the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do the others, but let us watch and be sober.
It's good to have a good time when you come to the house of the Lord. It's good, a good time in the Word. We had a good time in the Word this morning in Sunday school. Wandered a little bit, got a lot of different ideas about what was going on, but that was good. I appreciate that. My encouragement to you, as well as myself, for our community seeing where community is the key word. We would like for you to invite your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, your enemies, whatever. But have them come and let's have a good time in the Lord at our community, seeing, trusting the Lord that that will become an outreach of our church. Others have attempted it and it's not survived, but we pray that this is going to be an activity that we can enjoy on a regular, periodic basis that will give us an outreach into the community. And again, let me say this, all of you who labor in our church, and there's many who labor behind the scenes, our appreciation, thanks go out to you and your faithfulness, and we praise God for each one of you. Needless to say,
Brad, you knocked it out of the ballpark this morning. And Brenda, tell you, it's just like a taste of heaven when, sir, it is inspiring. And now y'all have to put up with me. You don't have to, but I'd appreciate it if you would. By the way, the story is told of the pastor who finished his Sunday morning sermon, and he prepared the congregation, and he said, now next week, my topic is lying. So in order for us to get into the scriptures and having the best time in the Word, I want you to read Mark chapter 17 before next Sunday. Next Sunday rolled around and got up, bring his sermon, and he said, I asked you last week, and I ask you to read Mark 17. I want to ask how many of you read Mark 17? And almost without a doubt, every hand in the congregation was raised. And he said, thank you very much. Now I know who I'm speaking to. Mark only has 16. So we're not that way this morning, but we will. You're probably shaking your head and wondering how in the world did Mike get Second Thessalonians into the Bible reading this morning when he's in Daniel. Well, that's just sort of the way that my mind works. We want to head towards Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica if we have time. If not, we'll do it next week. That's the beauty part of our church. We can pick up where we left off and even pick up where we should have left off, but we're going to try to do that. Let's look to the Word, to the Lord in the Word of Prayer, and then we'll begin. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. Father, for the truth of your Word. And Father, may we as your children, as we look into your Word, Father, help us to not misconstrue your Word. Father, where you are straightforward with us in our reading and understanding of what your Word says, Father, we pray that we might grasp it, comprehend it, take it and put it into practice in our lives. And so, Father, we pray as we look into Daniel this morning again, we pray, Father, that we might find there the nuggets of truth that you would have for us, that we might benefit by them, Father, that we might be inspired, that we might be encouraged, that we might be understanding of the truths that are there. And Father, be with me, and we pray, Father, that you would enable me to declare your Word, Father, as you would have it to be declared. Father, the truth of your Word, we pray that you'd make application in our hearts, minds, and lives, Father. And we'll give you the honor and praise. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Now, I want to say this. Does anybody know if the speaker is on in the back? Okay. Please feel free to bring that young man into the service. I would rather have a screaming baby than a sleeping saint. I don't mind these kiddos. My goodness, I was a kid one time. We had 5 kids of our own, and I can't even count the number of grandkids, great-grandkids, and great-great-grandkids we have. We've got a bunch. Now, I love for them to be in the church, in church where they go to church, and so don't ever, ever, ever feel bad about a baby exhibiting his energy or her energy in our church. They're more than welcome. Love them to pieces. And thank you for being here this morning and bringing that young man. He's a joy to see. I hate to say, my age, I can't remember his name. Eli. Levi. Levi. I thought I said that a while ago. Pwee. Let's get into Daniel before I get into trouble. We're looking this morning, beginning in Daniel chapter 9. I want to read a few verses, sort of bring us up to date and up to speed. Daniel chapter 9, looking at verse 3, we'll begin there. We read, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity, done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day. To the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel, that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee." Daniel is confessing. He is having a time, if you would, in the East Texas vernacular, he is having a heart-to-heart talk. He's exposing himself. He's declaring the truth, and he is asking God to minister unto him and to the children of Israel. Daniel was confessing the sin of the Israelite nation. And so we find here in verse 8, and he says, "O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee." This was the cry of Daniel here in the early verses of Daniel chapter 9. We find here that he will continue on. And in verse 9 he says, "To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, with which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us by bringing upon us great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayers before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hath gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy holy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for our iniquities and of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate. For the Lord's sake, O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies." He's begging here in these latter verses that we read this morning. He is begging for God's forgiveness and for God's restoration. We find here that Daniel is concerned about not only himself, but for the nation of Israel. They were away from their homeland. They were away from the city of Jerusalem. They had been taken into captivity, and for 70 years they'd been under the stiff rule of the Babylonians. And so we find here Daniel is pouring out his heart to the Lord, confessing the sins, how they have forgotten God, turned into their own way, ignored all that God had said to them by the prophets of old. And Daniel was beside himself as he spoke with sincerity from his heart the words that we've just read. Daniel chapter 9, verse 19. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. We find here Daniel takes God's side against Israel and consequently against himself as he acknowledges the sin with sorrow in his heart, with acknowledging the sin of Israel and his own sin. He acknowledges God's justice in meting out the punishment that they had suffered. He knew that that was what they deserved because of their falling away from following the Lord, for being obedient to the Old Testament prophets as they were warned back in the earlier in the Old Testament. He readily admits that the laws of God were broken by the people of God, and with sorrow of heart, Daniel here acknowledges how shamefully the prophets were treated. He was not only embarrassed, but he was broken in heart because of their disobedience. And so we find here in these verses that Daniel appeals unto God for his mercy, for his forgiveness, for his restoration. He doesn't appeal to God for on the grounds of Israel's righteousness, because she had none. They had completely departed from following after the Lord God. The mercy of God is the only thing that Daniel could come before God with, pleading for God's mercy and for God's forgiveness. We find here he does not appeal to God on the grounds of Israel's righteousness, because she had none. The mercy of God was all that was left that he could do, was to appeal unto God to have mercy. Three times a day, Daniel had prayed as he was there in imprisonment, so to speak, there in Babylon. And so Daniel prayed three times a day, and he always, always was looking towards the city of Jerusalem as he prayed, the place of the sanctuary of God, the place that God blessed Israel with, but because of her disobedience, God had allowed it to be destroyed. The city and the temple was nothing but burned ruins, trash, piles of rubble. They were burned and destroyed. And in this prayer to God, we read how he begs God to visit Israel again, to restore his glorious face upon his city and upon its people and upon its sanctuary. We have to wonder, what is Israel's future after they've wandered so far from God? We find in Daniel chapter 9, verse 20 and Daniel chapter 9, verse 20 through 27, how God answers Daniel. We find here in Daniel chapter 9, verse 20, and whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountains of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter, and consider the vision. How many times have we in our walk with the Lord wandered away from the Lord? How many times have we, like Daniel, got upon our knees or upon our face as we prayed to God and asked for His forgiveness and asked for Him to come and to be as real to us as He was before our departure from following Him? How many times do we, like Daniel, plead for God's forgiveness and restoration? And so we find here, we find in Daniel chapter 9, verse 23, "At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved." We are beloved. Many times as we've wandered, God has restored us, answered our prayers, and we are understanding that God loves us beyond anything that we can comprehend this side of heaven. And so we find here, Daniel goes on to say, as Gabriel is speaking to him and tells Daniel, "I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, make a reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 80 days and 2 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times." There were 69 weeks, as we read there in chapter 9, verse 25. Now in chapter 9, verse 26, he says, "After 80 days and 2 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war of desolations are determined." There's 62 weeks that are referenced there in Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. Verse 27, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." We've got here a number of weeks that we have read about. And while he was talking to God and confessing to God, and Daniel was seeking God's restoration, God had sent unto him an angel whose name is very familiar to us, Gabriel. And he sent Gabriel to reveal the number of days of Israel ahead, to give them hope, to assure them of security again. The Lord used the same angel some 500 years later to announce to Zechariah that he was to be the father of John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Messiah. And following this, God sent Gabriel, and he appeared unto Mary, the Virgin Mary, in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, to reveal that she was God's choice to conceive and bear the Messiah. In the Old Testament, we read in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, where he stated this fact, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, over in the New Testament, we read this, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Verse 27, "To a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." For 70 years, Israel was punished in exile in the land of Babylon. And now God reveals that for 70 weeks, Israel would continue until the golden age of messianic rule. In other words, the 1,000-year reign of Christ here on this earth. The literal Hebrew states that the 70 weeks are 70 sevens. back when they were translating the scriptures, the translators assumed that seven meant a week, 7 days a week. And they translated it as such. But this word seven is the same term as used in Genesis, which states that Jacob worked for a seven for Leah and then labored another seven for Rachel. These sevens were years and not weeks. So then we find here as we continue on, we know that the meaning of the 70 sevens, 70 times 7 years equals 490 years that God was going to continue his work with the nation of Israel. And then we find here Daniel says, Daniel and his people Israel, for at the end of the 490 years, the Messiah would set up his earthly kingdom. For 490 years from the time of Solomon, Israel did not keep the sabbatical year. Every seventh year was to be kept holy, as well as the seventh day. No planting, no gathering of grain, no fruit. Consequently, there were 70 years during which the land had no rest. God was going to take, and he was going to make sure that he gets from the Israelite nation what he prescribed for them back in the Old Testament prophets. And that was that God then sent Israel into Babylon for 70 years to let the land rest. They had disobeyed God, had not given that year of rest to the land so that the land could rest and bear fruit. And so now we find that God has put them into imprisonment and labor into a foreign country for 70 years so the land could rest. Now after 490 years from the time of Daniel to the Messiah's enthronement, God will give Israel 1,000 years of Sabbaths, 1,000 years. 1,000-year reign, the millennial reign of Christ. So let's try to make these sevens as clear as we can this morning. 70 weeks, or 70 times 7 equals 490 years. They are determined upon Israel to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to anoint the holy city, the Messiah. 490 years, and the Messiah would start to reign. 70 weeks or 70 times 7, 80 weeks, 60 times 7, and 2 weeks, 2 times 7, is 49 plus 420 plus 14 equals 483 years. And that is the time which will elapse between the command to build back Jerusalem unto the Messiah. Then the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, was to be cut off. True to this prediction, the Lord Jesus Christ was slain on the cross exactly 483 years after the commandment was given to restore the city. 80, 60 times 7, and 2 weeks, 2 times 7, 420 plus 14 equals 434 years elapses from the time Jerusalem is built to the execution of the Messiah. 70 times 7 equals 49 years or weeks lay between the time of the command to build Jerusalem and the time it was finished. Adding them, it took 49 years, 7 weeks to build the city, plus 434 years, 60 weeks plus 2 weeks from the completion of the city to the cutting off of the Messiah. That equals 483 years. For 1 week, 7 years now remains after the Messiah was cut off, the Lord Jesus Christ crucified. Did that 70 week continue on? No. If it did, we would be in the middle, if you would, or we would be in the kingdom now, and the Lord Jesus would be sitting upon the King David's throne in Jerusalem, and sin would be at an end. All we have to do is to look around us to see that sin still is rampant in the world today. And so we find then we can safely say that the kingdom has not been set up as yet. The Lord Jesus is now sitting upon His throne, His Heavenly Father's throne, but will soon sit upon His own messianic throne. We read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, "To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." What happened between the 69th week, 83rd year, and the 70th week, or the 490th year, the last remaining 7 years? The church age is that gap, the valley, in between the first coming of the Messiah and the second coming of the Messiah. As we know, the church age was never revealed in the Old Testament. These 70 weeks, 490 years, were determined upon the Jewish people, but were known in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. We read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." It was a mystery hid in God and now revealed unto his apostle and prophets. We read in Ephesians 3 and following, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, for if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote aforehand in few words, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." Verse 10, "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." And so we find here that we are up to the time in which we are living as far as the revelation of God, and there's still 7 years of time that needs to be filled. God will continue to deal with the nation of Israel. But God had turned his attention to the Gentile people, offering them eternal life as a free gift if they place their faith and trust in him. Just as he had instructed the Jews to turn to him, the instruction for us is, it's for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. As far as Israel was concerned, it was as though God had punched the stopwatch for her after the 483rd year. It was time out then for Israel. And it has lasted for 2,000 years, but as soon as this church age is over, the fullness of the Gentiles, the stopwatch will be punched again for Israel. And Israel is to have the remaining 70th week, last 7 years, known as the tribulation period. We're going to stop here this morning. It's a little bit over for my time. But we'll continue next week, and we'll see a little bit more, in fact, a lot more, concerning this 70th week, which Daniel is speaking of here, and still remaining for God to deal with the Jewish people. But now, in the time in which we live, God has punched that stopwatch and said, "Time out, Israel. I've got some other business, so to speak, for the Gentile people. And I'm going to offer them the same gift that I offered you and you turned your head against it, turned your back to it this morning. May we always, as believers, always be receptive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit and direction that He gives us on a daily basis. And then may we also become adept, if you would. And maybe I would use the word even a little more strongly than that, skilled, in sharing the gospel with those who need to know Christ as their personal Savior. Where do I begin? You begin just by asking God to lead someone your way that you might have some influence over. And if you do, He will. God is faithful. And my prayer is that we might be found faithful in the days ahead. Let's pray. Father, we come to You this morning. Father, we covered a lot this morning. And Father, we ask that You would complete this understanding in the days and the weeks ahead as we continue to look into Daniel. And Father, we ask Your blessings upon each one here. We pray, Father, that You would grow each one of us into vessels of use by You. Father, we pray that You would use this church, Father, as a lighthouse. We're small. Father, we don't have a lot to offer, but Father, we do have the best thing to offer and probably the most to offer as far as the gift of God as a gift. And Father, we pray that You'd bless our church in the days and the weeks to come. And we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.